Good thing I write that in my notes so I remember to do it. Okay, let's say a word of prayer before we get started. Lord Jesus, you came to serve, not to be served. Help us to do the same so that you may be glorified in our lives, everything we do and everything we say. In your precious name we pray. Amen. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Boy, that'll set you back, pace, won't it? Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. I'm reading from one of the resources that says, just as people who enter professional ministry need preparation, so do the called laity, those of you who aren't involved in professional ministry. Spiritual gifts are the raw material of ministry. The finished product will require much prayer, preparation, and planning. I like that the results of your spiritual gifts inventory are raw material waiting for you to pick it up and do something with it. The word obey or obedience comes up with our spiritual gifts. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. 1 Peter 4:10. So there's an acronym with the word obedience that is in the resources. If you bought this little book, it's in here. So we're going to look at that acronym. Oh, obey the calling. God has gifted you for a purpose and has called you to serve. Obedience is an important component of our fellowship and service in the body of Christ. It isn't just, oh, isn't that nice? Look at my result. There's a responsibility that comes with it now in knowing. I said not too long ago, I said to Bob, you know, I remember being young and learning to read. And, you know, you're driving down the road reading the road signs, and I saw the word antique, and I called it antique because, you know, you learn to sound out the words. And I realized that once I learned to read, I could never not read. You ever think about that? It's like this. Once you know your spiritual gifts, now you've got them. What are you going to do with them? Obey the calling God has given you. B, begin studying the Word of God to prepare you to use the gifts given to you. That's why in your inventories there are scripture listed for you to study. Use the definitions at the back of your booklet to understand more about what your results are and share with each other, with other believers. Look at this. Because it's important for us to affirm each other. Shoulder tap. I recognize this gift in you. I see you using it. God is at work in your life. Or if you're going scratching your head, what in the world, that you can ask someone else. Where do you see this in me? Do you have advice for me? Watch how others are using their gifts. Talk to them about how they feel and what they believe about what they're doing. So if your results are hospitality, who do you know that has the gift of hospitality? Talk to them. How does God work this out in your life? It may not be the same for you. God may work it out differently in your life. But talking to each other is one way of learning. How does it feel when you use your gifts? What goes on? Is it just, well, I did that today? Or is this, it comes so naturally and there's a joy in doing it? I hear that a lot. E. Examine your feelings, which you just talked about. How did you feel when you read your results? Anybody want to say?
Nervous.
What in the world is God going to call me to do? This was a surprise. Yes, surprise. Fear. I was actually relieved when missionary was very low in my result. True confession. There was a song, I don't remember who sang it in the 80s, about please don't call me to Africa. I don't think I got what it takes. And they went on to talk about giant snakes and I'll have to try and find that song. I think I have one on a cassette tape. Please don't call me to Africa. I will do everything. I will gather the offering. I will serve in the nursery. I will do this. I will do this. But please don't call me to Africa. It's a great song. How about excitement? Was anybody like, yeah, this is great?
No.
God wonderfully made us. Psalms 139, 13, and 14. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. God rewards our efforts to discover the gifts he has given us and the work he has for us to do. He created you. And he's gifted you. And yes, sometimes we're confused or we're afraid or we're anxious, but we know God's in charge. How do you feel? Be honest about that with God. The disciplined belief. It's one thing to believe and another to act on that belief. It takes faith and disciplined effort to discover and use your gifts. Once you know the gift God has given you, you're responsible to develop and use it. Disciplined belief. Maybe I'll save that for later. Okay. I investigate the gifts of others. Watch for and encourage spiritual gifts in each other. And in this way, the whole body is built up. I used to say at camp, I could tell the leaders who had the gift of leadership by watching who followed. So one young man wanted to be a leader, and he didn't have the gifts for it. His brother, however, didn't want to be a leader, but people followed him naturally. That was a hard one. To help guide the older brother, these are your gifts. This is where God is calling you. No, but he wanted to be that upfront leader. That was a hard one to navigate. And his brother, the one with the natural gifts of leadership, became the program director while I was there and is now the director. Fanning his flames, that was really a tricky one to navigate because I wanted to encourage both brothers. Investigate the gifts of others. Experiment with the gifts. Use your gifts to discover where the Spirit wants to place you. Okay, I'm going to read from this little book. How do you know whether you have the gift of healing unless you lay hands on someone and pray for healing? How will you know if God has gifted you to receive healings unless you allow another to lay hands on you and pray for you? How do you know you don't have the gift of teaching unless you teach? How do you know you don't have the gift of tongues unless you try it? How do you know you don't have the gift of administration unless you agree to take a chair of responsibility that calls for that gift? How do you know you don't have the gift of evangelism unless you're willing to confront non-Christians with an invitation to follow Christ? Experimentation is important. I shared story a couple Sundays ago. Music came up on my resolve. I had to pull this out. Not at the top. It was kind of lower top. But it was something I could do. Okay, music. I can do music. And I tried. I think I shared about the prison ministry. And that door was shut. And I thought, the church where we were members needed a music director, not like Libby does, just arranging special music and all that kind of stuff. I thought, there we go. I absolutely did not enjoy that. It was not, that experimentation was, this is not where I'm supposed to be. And in trying that, teaching came up in my top list. So let's try with the priests, the little kids. Not Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And discovered that adults, junior high school adults, there was where God put me. So experimenting with those, where is it? And it's okay to say, this isn't it. This is not the niche where God wants me to use my gifts. Okay, any questions about that?
So to get your gift, you gotta enjoy it in order to do it?
Not necessarily. I'll tell you what, though. When you are using your spiritual gift in connection with the Spirit and allowing Him to place you and work through you, it's a joy you cannot explain. Tom.
Sometimes you might be experimenting where you think there's the gift, but it's not really the gift that you're experimenting with. So I would make the argument that your music gift, and you said, I'm going to be the music director and be the organizer. The gift that you were experimenting with was organizing or administering, as opposed to singing or playing. So sometimes we talk ourselves into one thing.
Yeah.
Thinking that we're looking at another, right?
Yeah, right.
So,
right.
And we got to kind of keep praying about that and figure out what am I really trying to do here.
Exactly. And that just, with what Toby said and what you said, what just came to my mind was I discovered as a hospice chaplain that that's where music was my ministry. I carried 3 or 4 different hymnals with me, and I would sit at people's bedside and sing to them. I sang a lot of people into heaven. And in fact, so many that my team said, would you stop singing? And if one of my team members annoyed me, I'd say, I'm going to sing to you. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it. But that was where, at that point in my life, in the work that I was doing, God used the gift of ministry in a way that was beyond my understanding. Beyond my understanding. I could say more about that, but I probably won't. But on the other hand, just a second, Harold. On the other hand, I was at a prayer meeting one time, and the pastor said he was having an ear infection. He couldn't hear out of the right side of his ear, and he wanted someone to lay hands on him and pray for him. And no one volunteered in about a group of about 20 people. And he looked at me and he said, Deb, it's you. You need to come pray for me. I'm like, I don't have the gift of healing. I don't know what's going on. And, all right, I'll go pray for you. And his ear popped open.
Wow.
I don't have the gift of healing. But in that moment, God worked through that beyond understanding. When we're in this obedience trap, God does things that we just are. Whoa. Here.
Going back to what Toby said.
Yeah.
Is it possible to be good at something and not enjoy it?
Well, yes. I would say that's more in the line of our natural bent. When we're working with spiritual gifts, if it's not bringing joy, if it's not bringing contentment and the awareness of God at work in and through you, that would give me pause. There are times when I'm with the gift of pastoring, there are pieces of pastoring that are difficult. But that doesn't mean I'm supposed to back out away from the gift. But I think overall, when we're really soaked in the Spirit and what we're doing, and it is God's call, there is an enjoyment there that goes far beyond what we can explain. That understandable?
When you really enjoy it, you work harder at it.
Absolutely.
You do more. It's not work.
It's not work.
Right.
Well,
and
it can't be.
I don't enjoy it. Yeah. I ain't going to put a whole lot of effort in it.
Yeah. Right. Right.
But it comes more naturally if it's a really natural gift. You can't help but do it. I like all the good jobs. If my gift was a big book and a, you know, and a
or none, maybe.
That would be really hard for me. It would be almost impossible unless that was the gift God wanted me to do. But since I do have it, I find that it's so easy to talk. People I don't know, people that are standing in line, trees that we come in contact with. And that's a much easier thing for me to do than it would be for me to not.
Mm-hmm.
But if you try to preach, I don't preach. Then she'd be quiet. I go to a monastery.
Well, and gifts are expressed differently in different people. So I prefer in the grocery store to just get in and get my groceries and get out. You want to talk to people.
They talk to me first.
Well, yeah, sometimes I think, do I have on my forehead, please talk to me? I don't know what's going on. But I think when we're using our spiritual gifts, there's always a wrestling with our natural being. There's always a wrestling because we are stepping into something that's beyond us when we're using spiritual gifts. And so wrestling with pride, why am I doing this? Wrestling with, I don't want to do this. Wrestling with, it's just part of being human. When God calls us into this new way of being and living, we're going to wrestle with our human nature. So these are always good questions to ask. Always good questions to ask when we're exploring. How is God calling me to use this? You're fine. Noises are fine. What is the motive behind doing this? Yeah. You know, when I was a little girl and all my report cards said, Debbie talks too much. and at probably 5 years old, looking at the pastor one Sunday morning and thinking, I wonder what it's like to stand up there in the pulpit and talk to people and they listen. I mean, I can look back very young and see God developing this gift. But I didn't know then. But when it finally, you know, here it shows up, oh, teaching and preaching, what in the world? So God tapped into, you know, those natural things and took it for his own. It's beautiful. the way God created us to be, our personalities and our life experiences, and then gifts us that both enhances who we are and stretches us beyond ourselves. It's a beautiful thing. I think it's exciting. Okay, anything else on that one? Never doubt God's promises, because the devil will plague us with doubt and fear. The most effective way to get you to not use your gifts is to give in to doubt and fear. I think those are the doubt is what the enemy used with Adam and Eve. God really say that? And fear will stop us cold. Believe that God has gifted you and will use you. Nothing hinders the flow of God's grace into our lives more than doubt. That's a quote from the book. And fear. Bible declares that you are gifted. Don't doubt it. You are a follower of Jesus. You say yes to Jesus. Take him as Lord of your life. The Spirit comes in and gives you gifts. Search for and use your gifts. And that sends the enemy packing. You become a threat to the enemy. Censor all notions of pride or defeat. Those are serious hurdles to using your gifts. Remember, it's a privilege that comes with responsibility. Your gifts are not superior or inferior to any other person's gifts. Why and how God makes choices is known only to God. And everyone is of equal rank, equally privileged, divinely chosen. So don't look at someone else and say, I could never do that. Well, correct, because God has something unique for you. Expect God to produce the results. That's our human nature. You know, we want results, we want results, we want results. I sing a song, people go to heaven. not the results I expected. What? They did? Yeah. I will tell you one. I have several stories. Which one do we want to tell? I'll tell you one. It was a man who was in his 40s who'd been in a boating accident and was paralyzed from the neck down. And he had no family. And ended up in a long-term care nursing facility at the age of 40. And he was rather bitter and entered into the hospice program. And he was in for quite some time. Every 6 months, you know, you're reevaluated. But he was not my patient, but it was the other chaplain's day off. So they called me that he was actively dying and would I go sit with him, and absolutely. So he had been in the facility long enough that his caregivers were his family. So the hospice nurse and I and about four of the caregivers were around his bed. And I prayed, and then I just opened up my hymnal and started to sing. And this song is actually in the celebration hymnal, but the second verse, I wish I had it with me to read it, talked about the line was, at the feet of Jesus, earth's dark shadows flee. And he stopped breathing. And the air in the room was just electric. And the nurse's eyes got big and she looked at me and the caregivers and I just went, and kept on singing. But there was something about him being surrounded by people who cared about him and this song that provided a safe journey is the way I went at the feet of Jesus, earth's dark shadows flee. Still gives me goosebumps. That was nothing I did. I just sang. So that God produced the results, so that this gentleman could enter into eternity with peace. So, from the results of your inventory, list the top three highest scoring gifts. Has anyone done that where you've grouped them? Okay, take some time here. List the top three highest scoring gifts and label them primary. And it doesn't matter what the spread of the numbers are. They could all be, like, my top three were all the same results. I had three that were the same number. What are the primary gifts? Is anyone brave enough to share that? Like, you put it out there in the air and everyone hears it. That's a little scary, huh?
Sure.
Okay, Barbara?
My top three are faith, administration, and service.
And what?
Service.
Faith, administration, and service. Okay, Melanie?
Faith, administration, and my third was mercy and humor.
Ah, mercy and humor. Interesting. Anyone else? Yes, Diane.
My first one was pastor.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one that I said this is wrong. But Christy said read it. And it's more, it's not preaching.
Right.
There's a difference between featuring preaching and pastor. And it's more of a deacon gift.
Mm-hmm. Is it spiritual, physical, and social concerns for groups and individuals?
Yeah.
You can pastor one-on-one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a bit
mm-hmm.
The other is one of the usual exciting.
Anybody else? Yes.
Teresa. My line was the servant.
Giving and humor. Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Fantastic that the spirit gives the gift of humor.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
What happens if the majority of the church gives humor?
What a fun place to be. Okay. Now, take the next numbers and list them. What are your next results?
I ended up with a lot. It was like two that were like 14s, and then I had 5 13s and 2 12s, and then they all broke off.
Yeah, yeah. That was similar to my results. My top three are teaching, wisdom, and administration. And then my secondary, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. Yeah. Faith, knowledge, leadership, pastor, prophecy. The prophecy one is freaks me out.
Teaching, faith, leadership, and prophecy.
Uh-huh. I think when we look at it this way, the results this way in groupings, something rises up when you're just looking at individual results. But when we're looking at groupings, the same, how does God use these together? So, you know, you look at humor and mercy, how do those go together? And then if you have others that are, I actually ended up with three groupings that were all very close together. So you can look at those and say how, it's not that secondary or tertiary are less important. It's just these are the primary ones that God is raising up, and here's some that come in to support it. So music was in my third list, the tertiary.
Miracles was in my third, and that sort of goes with you, Pastor, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why it's so important to read those, the scripture that go along with it, or to talk to other people who have those gifts and say, how is God manifesting this in your life? God uses our gifts whenever and wherever he pleases. Don't get hung up on these results. Like, this is more important than that. This, where, what ministries, what areas of the church is God using this whole primary, secondary listing, grouping? Second question, what ministries are you now involved in? Performing formally or informally in the body of Christ. Look at your list. Where are you using those gifts now? Or where are you already involved in the church and it's not in your giftedness? And there are some folks who are using their natural talents. We need that. We need that. But where are you involved using your giftedness or not using your giftedness? Is God calling you to consider some changes? Perhaps, I'm repeating myself. In light of your gift clusters, what we just did, for what specific roles in the body of Christ is God possibly, hey, look, I wrote these down. They're on your papers. What specific roles in the body of Christ has God possibly gifted you? And discuss your findings with other believers who know you well in order to evaluate your conclusions. So those are all questions for you to consider, to keep praying about, keep talking about. Where, you know, we listed all four of these. Receive, relate, equip, send, and areas of the church where the church is functioning. Is God calling you to something? And sometimes, particularly if a result, your spiritual gift result, and you're going, I don't know about that. God's calling me to that. I really don't know about that. That might be a place to step in and try. And that's one of the beauties of a church that allows people to try. And you're doing that. When our children and the youth get involved in worship and we are allowing them space to use their gifts, to try, to be involved, that is such an important gift to the spiritual development of our children. That's why I like to have more people involved in worship leading. You don't know until you're up there. Reading scripture or leading a prayer or whatever. Space to try. I have been in churches where there isn't that space. It's more of a professional. Worship service is more professional. And only those who can present that kind of professionalism are permitted to be involved. And that's sad. That's sad to me. Developing and using your gifts. Then identify an area and a specific ministry that you feel called and equipped to do. Read the scriptures and pray, asking God for confirmation, and learn and try, and ask for help and discernment and needed. And then, just like we do with our professional careers, you seek training and education. Because many ministries need special skills that can be learned through experiences. So God called me to pastoring, and when I said, okay, God, but you remember that I didn't go to college, and I don't want to go to college with three little kids. So, yeah, you figure it out, and I laughed at him. And then one day, he opened the door to seminary, and I have an MDiv, but I don't have an undergrad degree. And God laughed back at me. So... seeking that training, honoring the gift. So coming up, the 16th, right, is deacon's training. The district is doing a deacon's training. And is deacon on your list? No. So what spiritual gifts are do deacons and deaconesses need, do you think?
Caring, service.
How about mercy? So how will you know? If you have those gifts, and here comes this deacon's training, here's an opportunity for me to go and learn more about this. You don't have to already be a deacon to come to the deacon's training. This is an opportunity to say, wow, I have this gift. Maybe this is an area where God wants to use me. So take opportunities for education. Do not confuse enthusiasm with education. So on your list, there's a crazy one called, that list is different than your list, exorcism. Do not confuse enthusiasm with education, particularly with exorcism, okay? That's a crazy one. Do not try and use that gift unless you have been with someone who has that gift and you've been trained. That make sense? Yeah. I knew a husband and wife pastor team. Well, she wasn't a pastor. He was the pastor. But together, the two of them had the gift of exorcism and had a ministry and the stories they told. And he pounded it. Do not use this gift unless you know what you're doing. And never do it alone. Yeah. So that one, when that one popped up, I thought, well, here's a prime example. Take advantage of learning all you can as a faithful steward of the gifts you've been given. Okay, any comments on that? There's a couple of them on there. Missionary, doesn't mean you're going to Africa. It might mean you're just going down the street to your neighbors. Prophesying, understanding what that is. There's a lot of, I want to say the mega church, and that's not really fair, but there's some teaching out there about prophecy that's telling you what you're going to do in your life, and that's not how I understand prophecy. Prophecy is, in the Old Testament, was forth-telling. This is what you're doing. This is what you're doing right. God will bless you, foretelling. This is what you're doing wrong, and this is what's going to happen if you don't stop. So prophesying isn't predicting, telling people what they're going to do in their life. That can mess people up. Okay. Some ministries may already be part of your local church and you can join them. That's an important way to test. Ask for feedback from those involved. Honor their feedback. So in our baptism vows, when we talk about caring for each other, being accountable to each other, this is part of it. Honor the feedback that you receive from people who may be tapping you on the shoulder and saying, have you thought about this? Some ministries may not now be part of the church or may be beyond the local church, but require full coordination with the church and its agencies. So there are ministries that we, the Grove, are involved in that, tell me, I can't say the babies. Yeah, Family Promise. Okay. We are involved in those, but those aren't part of this church, right? We're involved in it. When Linda and Karen and I were at, thank you, in Cincinnati, the Walking Roots Band, anyone familiar with the Walking Roots Band? The group out of Harrisonburg that I don't know how long they've been together, and music ministry, folk, bluegrass, I forget what the definition was, it was pretty funny. folksy, bluegrassy Christian music. And Seth Christman and his wife were two of the, he's one of the lead singers, felt called to be home missionaries, not to go off somewhere else, but in their community to be home missionaries, went to Virginia Mennonite Mission in Harrisonburg with this idea of helping congregations reach into their communities and start children's ministries. They were both very, very involved and very active in children's ministries. And so they became Virginia Mennonite Mission's very first home missionaries and would go to congregations and just help them start children's ministries as a way to reach into their community. They, during the pandemic, that was outside of their own home congregation, but it was still a ministry to be involved in. So during the pandemic, their friends of theirs, their children are at home, they're trying spiritual formation at home, they're not being able to go to Sunday school, and friends of them came to the Walking Roots Band and said, help us with faith formation at home. Help us, Seth and his wife, faith formation at home. And so they started writing following the lectionary year called Little Liturgies and Scripture and Song and Prayers. And they partnered again with Virginia Mennonite Mission to create these little liturgy booklets and CDs, and they give them away to families. I have a box in my office. They're finishing up the third year. So they told us about this. It was really exciting. You know, this is what God does. You step into using your gifts and God goes, whew, I've got something cool for you to do. So they said they're finishing up the third year. And I said, Seth, how much money do you need to finish up the third year? He says, oh, probably about $40,000. Because they have to hire musicians and studio time and printing costs. But all of it is free to the families. So, I don't know, it was maybe a month after annual conference, and I see on Facebook that the Walking Roots Band had been awarded a $1 million grant from the Lilly Foundation for their little liturgies project. Is that not God blessing their commitment to using their spiritual gifts? That is, and they were so humble when I asked them, how much money do you need? I don't know about. And you know, if you've written grants, you know it takes a while. So he didn't say, well, we've written a grant. I'm just like, no. God will provide. It's an amazing story. So once they get their third year finished, I will have 50 copies of each year that we will be able to hand out to families. Faith formation at home.
They sing the scriptures too.
They sing the scriptures.
And
the
prayers. So the kids learn these because they're short.
Yep. They're scripture songs that kids can learn memorizing, and it's as a family. So they told a story. One of the guys told a story how during the pandemic, they were outside. He was in the garden hoeing. His wife was in the chicken coop. His kids in the playground. And he started singing one of these scripture songs. His wife joined in from the garden. His little kid joined in from the playground. And they sang together a scripture song. It's pretty cool. Okay. God works in those ways. And when it happens, you know, that was God. That was God. Develop your understanding, deploy your gifts in the actual places where they will serve best the cause of Christ and his church. But be willing to go wherever God calls you. Is this congregation the place where my gifts may be best used? Are my gifts appropriate to the mission of my church at this time? Churches call, churches send. Is my call for ministry outside the local church? If it is, how do I relate to my congregation? Dakota's a good example of that. Those who serve in Family Promise and Pregnancy Center and all the places that we are involved. Okay, so we discussed those four areas here in the last few minutes. Ministries that receive, equip, relate, and send. And there are, according to this book, Each One a Minister, they had 12 ministries that are part of each one of those sections. But that was, you know, not every congregation is going to have all of those. We are going to cover two this morning and the last two next week. So ministries that receive, worship ministries, inviting and inspiring worship. What are some of those things that are involved in worship ministries? Leading, participating in private and public worship opportunities and in private devotional experiences. What are some of those, when we have up here, worship ministries, our worship commission, name some things. What all goes into a worship service on a Sunday morning?
Our youth band is going to be at the Old Time Festival and they launch for the children.
The youth band, yeah. So music, worship leader, the song leaders, the musicians, planning the worship, or planning the music, drama, ushers, acolytes, flowers, reading scripture, worship leader, preaching, greeters, the AV team, the children's story, writing, places other than Sunday morning, Sunday school, teachers, small groups, in-house worship, camp. What spiritual gifts are needed for worship ministries? You see, there's more than just worship. There's a lot that goes. One of the things I love about worship planning is you prayerfully put these in place and then stand back and watch what the Spirit does. Like, oh, I didn't plan that. And knowing, another one of my favorite things is when people are walking past me at the end and saying, this is what I heard. I really like that you said this today. And I think, I didn't say that. I go back and look at my notes. I did not say that. That was the Spirit at work, speaking to each of us, knowing that when we put these together and then the Spirit gets a hold of it, he's going to reach into each person's mind and life in a different way. Anything else that goes with worship ministries with this definition? Leading, we need participants, right? Coming and being available and worshiping in that space. There's a lot that goes on. Ministries that receive, relational ministries. Greeters that make people feel welcome. Hospitality. The kitchen workers. Stewards. Custodians. Administration. Those who care for the building and everyone who's in it. Those who maintain connections. What else do you see as being part of a relational ministry?
Sunday school,
even
fit in that?
Deacons?
Yeah, the last one before special announcements that probably be in that too.
I'm sure.
It's an opening for people to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is what's going on. Get involved. Absolutely. Good one. What spiritual gifts do you see? What else that are relational? Mercy. Those who, I know someone who writes, sends cards. I've heard that about Harold. I've heard that rumor about Harold. Yeah, phone calls, the prayer chain. There's lots that go on with relational. What spiritual gifts? Maybe God is calling you into these relational ministries. Ministries that receive, congregational care ministries, visitation, deacons, intercessory prayer, prayer chain, prayer meeting, pastoral care, service groups. What else? What spiritual gifts are needed for congregational care ministries? So when you're looking at your groupings and you're looking at these definitions, where might God be calling you to use them in the church? Teaching and learning ministries, individuals, groups, Bible studies, Sunday school, Bible school, youth club, short-term on specific topics, writing curriculum. I was at a church where there was a woman who was gifted in writing children's curriculum and wrote this Bible school curriculum every year. Everything from snacks to... And another person was gifted in music writing. She wrote the music. Administration, organizing, bulletin boards. Spiritual gifts. What spiritual gifts are needed for teaching and learning ministries? Spiritual growth ministries. Again, writers, teachers, retreat speakers, contemplatives, those who like to a very contemplative person to think and write and pray. What spiritual gifts are needed for that? And helping ministries, providing assistance in the functioning of the local church and to people with special needs. So continue to talk to each other. Continue to pray. Continue to ask God for his wisdom, because this is God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God's spirit dwelling in and among his people, creating divine community. We are a divine community. Yes, thank you. I love when Sharon waves at me. And inviting others into it. So we need spiritual gifts of people who are invitational, evangelism, invitation, and we need people here to welcome them and nurture them. People who are being formed, transformed, and conformed into the image of Jesus. The church is the body of Christ in the world, and it's an adventure. It is an adventure. Okay, so our closing prayer is part of St. Patrick's breastplate prayer. So let's pray. Christ be with us, Christ within us, Christ behind us, Christ before us, Christ beside us, Christ to win us, Christ to comfort and restore us, Christ beneath us, Christ above us, Christ in quiet and Christ in danger. Christ in hearts of all that love us, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. Thank you.